Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. And joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always look forward to our visits with you every week. Appreciate your time. We were just watching you on SportsCenter earlier. The headline was Dalvin Cook would like to be in a landing spot with DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, why? How does that work?
Is this fantasy football? Like, how does
Is this a plus one situation?
I mean, it's a plus one situation if you're DeAndre Hopkins. You're like, heck yeah, man, your market's way better than mine. Like, it's your way.
I'll latch on to you.
Right? I think it's one of these things. I guess Dalvin Cook was on Adam Schefter's podcast, and you know, he brings up, like, hey, look, it'd be great to go somewhere with DeAndre Hopkins. I think just, honestly, just having an answer, showing some respect to somebody that's been a great player in the NFL. But, look, the market for DeAndre Hopkins seems to be the Tennessee Titans at, you know, whatever level, the New England Patriots at maybe a slightly, more compensation than he would find in Tennessee, which obviously you look at both those spots, neither one of those teams seem to be in the market for a running back. So that's not a match there. And I think teams that would like Cook, Buffalo maybe Miami, those teams aren't looking for a receiver like DeAndre Hopkins. So, look, I think it was a friendly answer, but, you know, it doesn't necessarily make a whole lot of sense.
It is that time of year. It's talking season. Mm-hmm. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. We've heard reported by several different reporters and outlets and networks that DeAndre Hopkins is in no rush, that he is going to take his sweet time. What is he waiting on?
Well, I think he's waiting for a couple things. One, there's not a ton of, you know, money out there for him. So, like, let's say New England wanted to sign him to a deal. Well, look, if you don't really have somebody else that's interested, then New England doesn't have to offer him some type of, you know, deal that he's maybe excited about. And then, look, like, waiting for Hopkins just makes more sense. So, you know, just picture, let's use the Titans as an example, just because it's applicable to everyone here. The Titans might be like, look, we're interested in you, but, like, it's not going to really be anything other, let's just say, a one-year, $1 million contract. Okay, fine. Well, he's going to be in no rush to sign that deal. Next thing you know, you get into the beginning of training camp, and there is a significant injury to a starting wide receiver for the Titans. Well, now the Titans might be looking like, hey, what about 2 years, $10 million, $7 million guaranteed? Like, that's why you wait. I just think it probably makes sense for the teams, and it makes sense for Hopkins to just kind of see how things play out.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, the whole Stephon Diggs situation, do you think it – the first question I'm going to ask is, do you think it will affect the – wide receiver market this offseason? Because it seems like he's disgruntled about something.
I don't think it affects the wide receiver market because I don't think it's about money. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's about just being unhappy with how he's being, you know, utilized. And to me, it's like death taxes and like unhappy, selfish wide receiver. I guess, you know, my answer to that would be like, look, I think it's just a player who's a passionate player, who's a really good player, who's fiery, who, look, I think is just like, look, I need to ball more because I want to win. Like, I mean, I think in some ways it sounds great, you know, from his perspective, I'm sure, but from a team's perspective, I think it does not. And I think where it can show its head is, let's say they smooth things over. Well, what happens when they get a game in December, you know, against a tough opponent and he doesn't get the ball late? Is he then unhappy?
Yeah, it things like that does happen. You know, you're happy for a minute, and then that game comes where you feel you can help, and you're not getting the targets that you feel you deserve, and then all of a sudden you become a disgruntled employee, so to speak. We had a caller or a texter text in about this situation, and because we were discussing, Tim, you know, him being more involved in the offense, and Carolina asked me, well, how much input does a receiver have? And I said, listen, typically the receiver, if you are a elite receiver on your team, it's not like you have input, because the minute you look at the playbook, you know there's going to be 20, 25 plays there for you in just in the passing game alone. So you don't have to, you know, go into the OC's office and say, hey, listen, y'all need to figure out how y'all going to give me the ball. Because once you look at the game plan, you know, once you get that game plan on Wednesday, and some, you know, OCs give it to you Monday night after you've watched film, this is what we think about. So look at this here, and you take a look at it. Do you think now, because of the way sports is, not just football, Tim, but basketball and baseball, where it seems like these individuals have more power, do you think now that they are looking around at these other sports that they feel they deserve the power that these other guys are giving? So they want a seat at the table as well in regards to making decisions about offenses.
Listen, they may, but like, and you know this, football's totally different than these other sports, especially when you look at like the grind and planning that goes into trying to design plays that work each and every week. I mean, the reality is, like, if you want say in, you know, our play design and what's in the game plan that week, then come to the meeting.
That's what I told them. Yes.
Like I'm gonna like tell you right now, like, hey, get me the ball more. The other thing I would say is this, and for me, what's amazing to me is I don't know that. I think it would surprise people that how many guys don't understand this simple concept in the NFL. When you call a pass play, you are not trying to get everybody open. You're trying to get somebody open. And sometimes the best way to get somebody open is to have Stephon Diggs do something to get somebody else open. And so, like, you don't call a play being like, all right, I'm going to get five guys open. It doesn't happen. That's not how passing the football works in the National Football League. You're trying to get somebody open. Like, and sometimes the easiest way to do that is not to the most talented player on your team. It sounds funny, but that's the reality of it. Now, listen, you get man-to-man coverage with no help elsewhere. Like, yeah, of course. Like, you're going to favor the number one most talented guy, but – you know, you don't. That's not the look you always get on defense. I mean this when I hear somebody like Stephon Diggs talk, like, or it's the same way I used to think about like when T.O. would talk. I'd be like, I don't know that you understand how this works. I mean it. Like, I just, and it seems silly, but like we're not calling a play for you to get open every time.
More with you. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go ahead, Tim.
Anyway, I you can tell I get fired up about it because it's like I don't really, you know, understand it.
More with ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasbeck coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie and DeMace is brought to you by the New Zen Sports Sportsbook with cash rewards and the easiest, simplest betting experience possible. Betting just got better. Download the Zen Sports Sportsbook app today. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now.
So, Tim, if you were to sort of advise Josh Allen at how to massage this, right, how do you go about trying to calm the waters down a little bit with this whole thing? Because this is very counterproductive, right? I'm glad if I'm the Bills, I'm glad this is happening in June and not in October, of course. But how would you go about it?
Yeah, I would do exactly what Josh did. You know, when Josh, spoke, I guess during their mini camp the other day, he's like, you know, he, you know, with some descriptive words, he's like, I love that guy. Like, this meaning like, hey, what we're trying to do here in Buffalo, which is win a championship, like, this does not work without him. I mean, basically just, like, heap all kinds of praise on him. Like, you do that, you know, and you let him know, like, how much you appreciate him. Like, that's what Josh Allen has to do. I think the trickier job is, you know, Sean McDermott, because Sean McDermott, he needs to keep a good player happy. At the same time, he's the head coach. Like, you know, like this idea, and I think, you know, DeMace and I are kind of touching on it. It's like coaches coach, players play. And so it's like, hey, I want the ball more. You got to call better plays for me. It's like, all right, like if you want to come in at 5 and grind on the film and then put a plan together and be here, you know, to the wee hours of the night putting a game plan together, like, come on in, man. Like, you know, the coaches aren't yelling, like, I need to be running more routes, right? And so the receiver shouldn't be saying, like, I need to be designing and putting in more plays. So, like, unfortunately, like, it can sound harsh or all that stuff to some people, but, like, that needs to be Sean McDermott's perspective. So I think there's a little bit of good cop, bad cop on it, and that's what I feel like, you know, the difference between Allen and McDermott is.
So as you go through this process in the summer and you're trying to put together your plan, right, as you're sort of talking about, another thing that's been brought up with the Bills, and I wonder how this is processed in Diggs's mind, is, hey, the Bills weren't physical enough. They couldn't run it well enough, especially in the playoffs when you really need to be able to be a little more physical and run when you need to run. What about that element of it? Because that's one theory I hear thrown around there is, you know, they'd like to be able to run it better, and maybe that means using more two tight end sets or heavier formations.
Listen, McDermott's been talking about running the football better for a long time. They haven't been very good at it, and they need to get better at it. And I don't have any doubt that they would be a better football team if they were better at situationally running the ball. So, look, yeah, I mean, that's the other part of it, too. Like, and that's why when I hear, you know, not to just, like, make it about receivers, but when I hear receivers be like, well, I'm yelling just because I'm passionate and I want to win. And it's not just about me getting the ball more. It's I can help us win. It's like, that's great, but, like, that's just your part of it, you know? Like, that's just, like, thinking about how, like, you are a part of this whole thing. There's 10 other guys on offense, and then there's the defensive side of the ball, and then there's special teams. Like, I just think what happens when guys look at it through the lens of, hey, if I, you know, get 10 targets, we're more likely to win. It's like, well, like, that's through you looking at it, but, like, what if you actually ran the football more and instead of them getting 12 possessions, they got 11? Like, did you think about that? And truth is, like, most receivers don't. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of, like, trying to help them understand that in a way that is digestible.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us now. Tim, kind of looking at the quarterback development going on at OTAs and mandatory minicamp with the Tennessee Titans, a lot of what we've heard is, hey, Malik Willis actually looks pretty good. Will Levis making some mistakes. And we've cautioned people, hey, it's early. There's a lot of growth that needs to be done. When do you think is the fair point in time in the season where we can really start to evaluate these quarterbacks and start to judge these quarterbacks of what they can be, not just for the Titans this season, but moving forward as well?
Well, I do think it's fair, like, for the team to be able to evaluate the player somewhat, like, this time of year in the camp. You know, like, does he understand protections? Is he adjusting protections? Is the ball coming out on time in the passing game, whether it's 7-on-7 or team drills or third down situations? So I do think the team can start to get a sense of, yeah, he's getting it, you know, or he's understanding it better. Then I think you need to, you know, get into preseason games and say, all right, well, like, does he revert back to kind of just panicking in a passing situation and relying on trying to escape outside the pocket and run, or does he look comfortable in the passing game? I do think you can see, you know, you get a better sense, you know, in that than you do in practice. And then in terms of, okay, from that period, does he ever get an opportunity to play in a game, a regular season game? And, does what we've seen in practice in the preseason, does that translate when he gets an opportunity when it actually really matters? So, you know, it's kind of one of those situations, Caroline, where, you know, you can get a sense, you can kind of have a better feel, but you don't know until it happens. Much like last year, you didn't know how unprepared he was going to be until it actually happened.
Tim, quickly, how do you see the AFC South? Because, you know, obviously, you know, you have the Titans, Jacksonville. I don't think many still believe that Jacksonville is the team that they saw toward the end of the year. I tend to believe that Jacksonville is the team that we saw at the beginning, at the end of the year, and I think they're only going to get better with the addition of Calvin Ridley, if that offense can stay healthy. But how do you see the AFC South? Because it's going to be competitive, but it's not like it's going to be competitive because it's one of the better divisions.
Right. I think Houston's going to be a bad team again. I think that the Colts have a chance to also be a bad team because they're, you know, there's a very good shot that they start a quarterback that has played 13 games, you know, started 13 games in college and is going to hit massive growing pains. Like, think back to how good Justin Fields was in college, how really prepared, you know, he appeared to be, and what that looked like in Chicago his rookie year. I mean, it was terrible. Now, listen, so that's if he's not prepared, which I kind of think will be the case year one. If he is, okay, then is it like, well, shoot, like, look at Cam Newton. Now, Cam Newton played way more football and stuff like that, but, like, so it could be a good thing. So I think they could go either way. But to give you an answer in terms of what I think it's more likely that they're bad than good because they're breaking in a quarterback. So that's what I think happens there. I think Jacksonville's going to be really, really good because the quarterback is awesome. The running back is awesome. I think the talent around the quarterback is going to be better than it was a year ago. So I think they're going to be really good. And then for the Titans, I think they are the really big question mark. And so like, that's how I see the division. I think there's a clear favorite. I think there's a shot there's two bad teams in the division. And I think that leaves it up to the Titans to see if they can make some noise.
Tim, appreciate you for joining us. As always, we will chat with you next week.
You got it. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. Appreciate you. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck, who joins us every Tuesday at noon. Coming up next, we'll react to what Tim had to say. We'll get your thoughts on that coming up as well. But I also want to get into the last person who I ever thought would be whining. He was whining. And we'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.